Hey, listeners, I wanted you to know about a special free webinar I'll be doing November 15th on the Hero's Guide to Winning Back Your Wife. You don't want to miss this two-hour live webcast where you can interact with me personally and discover the most important strategies in building the relationship of your dreams. There's a link to register for this special webcast on each of the episodes of the series, The Hero's Guide to Winning Back Your Wife. So don't wait. Register today and reserve your seat for this exclusive live webinar. Welcome back to the fourth installment of our special series, The Hero's Guide to Winning Back Your Wife. Today, we talk about one of the best ways you can stop that miserable conflict dance you learned about in episode 2. And you're probably not going to like it. In fact, this key strategy is one most people resist initially. But if you figure it out, it can turn your relationship around quicker than almost anything else you can do. Welcome to Smalley Marriage Radio. I am your host, Michael. Stop laughing at me. I am your host, Michael Smalley, along with my jerk co-host,
Seth Johnson.
Why?
I love that it almost sounds like you're telling our listeners to stop laughing at me.
I probably need to do that from time
to
time.
Stop looking at me, Swan.
I know. So we have been doing this series.
Yes.
For men.
Mm-hmm.
And men who might be in a relationship where, you know, they're not considering divorce necessarily, but they're definitely stuck and they know they're not happy, or they have a pretty good idea their wife isn't happy.
Or men that just want to be proactive.
Yeah.
In learning how to not get into these.
Yeah. Because all these things can be applied whether you're in crisis or not.
Mm-hmm.
And so today we're talking about something, and I've mentioned this before on episodes many moons ago, but it's this. It's like the greatest advice no one wants to hear.
Are you going to tell us?
No.
Or just tease a little longer?
I'm going to tease the entire show. So they have to stay tuned until the very end of the of this podcast, and then they'll know.
Because you did say in the intro, it can turn a relationship around quicker than almost anything else you can do. And my immediate thought was, well, what are the other things? Maybe I should do those. They're even quicker.
Well, I mean, there's always murder, but that's not the direction. But it's quick.
That's true. It would turn it around, but just in the wrong direction.
Yeah, it goes quick.
So, listeners, we are not advocating murder.
No. Even though sometimes I know some of you may feel those kinds of feelings towards your spouse.
Or co-host.
This has got awkward.
No, I mean, I don't. I was just saying
maybe
someone, some co-host out there has these feelings.
I wish we had a webcam, because then everyone would have seen the look on your face.
Yep, the angelic look.
Nope, more like serial killer. I was feeling Jeffrey Dahmer. Yep, there he is again. So, all right. The concept that we're talking about today is personal responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're trying to win your wife back, then it's going to start with you. Because personal responsibility is at the heart of any healthy relationship. It's literally the fuel that drives the engine of a good relationship. So without personal responsibility, all the things that you're going to be learning in this series, or mm-hmm. all the things you might read from other people, they're just not going to work. In fact, without personal responsibility, you'll end up using these things more than likely as a weapon.
Yeah.
Right? It's not going to work out well. Because until we look in the mirror and say, okay, what is my responsibility in this? It's just, you're not going to get anywhere.
Yeah.
And kind of the reason personal responsibility is so important in a relationship is that you can't change people.
Right.
So in particular for the guys where, you know, your wife has come to you and has been maybe really blunt, potentially even hurtful, and said, I'm out. I'm done. I don't want to do anything. Those guys really need to pay attention to this, because it's easy. Well, I would almost argue it's almost natural for us to want to point the finger, right?
For sure.
Not the middle one.
Well, that might be natural, too.
Don't give the finger.
Yeah. No.
But when pointing the finger, but what's sad, though, is they, guys, you can do this in a multitude of ways. So you might point the finger at your wife and go, yeah, but this is what you've been doing. And mm-hmm. the reason I don't do this is because you do that. It could be pointing back to your father, to your childhood, to mm-hmm. your family system, where, well, this is just, I don't know any better. Or even your personality style that's out of balance.
Right.
Well, this is just who I am.
Right.
I can't change. Can't teach an old dog new tricks.
You know, can't teach a new dog
old tricks. And you can't because they're too young to comprehend.
Yeah, and those things that you can be pointing at could be completely true and valid things, but they're outside of your control.
Yeah, right? You can't do anything. And, by the way, personal responsibility, especially if you are in crisis mode and your wife is threatening to leave you, you can get overly focused on her and lose focus on the things that you need to do to make things better.
Mm-hmm.
And so like, for example, Seth, have you ever with Shauna, and she'll never hear this.
Never.
Because she never listens,
nor shows up to sit in ever. The podcast.
She never sits inside the studio, so you're safe. This is a safe place.
Right.
Because Sean is literally sitting behind him.
Yeah. Hey, babe.
She waved, everybody. So have you ever, in conversations with Shauna, have you ever pointed the finger? Have you ever said, hey, this is something you're doing wrong, or this is something you need to change? Have you ever had that kind of a conversation?
I'm trying to look at her right now and see if she's going to non-verbally tell me if I've done this or not. She's shaking her head no.
No, that was not. That was not a no shake.
That looked like a no shake.
That felt like a knowingly shake. Like, I know.
And no, she said, yes, you're correct, Seth. That was a no, I believe.
Nope, that is definitely not what was happening.
I'm sure I have. Yeah. I don't remember off the top of my head. And she doesn't seem to remember specifics off the top of her head.
I mean, once again, this is why the two of you are disgusting.
Look.
What?
We are here to encourage you and our listeners.
That's the truth. Well, you know, and still, you've only been married, what, 4 months? 5 months?
I mean, compared to you and Amy, close.
So it's coming. Yeah.
Because you're in our fifth year.
Because you are currently, you're not pregnant. Your wife is pregnant.
Yes.
And once that baby comes.
Yeah, I'm sure that all hell will break loose.
Yes. Yes, it will. And I honestly.
You're looking forward to
it? I don't want you to take that the wrong way. But I'm ready for you to come in on a Tuesday melting down. Because you're tired, Shauna freaked out, you freaked out.
Well, you know that eventually that our baby will be coming in with me on Tuesdays.
True. We could start her off young.
Yeah.
We'll have a whole series of baby episodes. So,
yes.
Well, okay, because you're terrible. I can't believe there's not one good example you can come up with. I have so many.
I feel like I might internally
surely
deny
about like
things.
The sink, the dishes, you know how you kind of have that issue thing.
We have had a sink dishes issue
because we know, and everyone listening, if you're not perfect like Seth and Jonah are, then you know what happens when you point the finger, when you try to blame your spouse or criticize them or shame them in some way. It never goes well, ever. Right. You know, Amy and I, one of our most famous ones is when early on, you know, when I don't even know, Cole was about 5, so this would have been roughly 15 years ago, is when I kept switching cell phone carriers and all that because I wanted the latest, greatest cell phone, and it was causing cancellations and fee upon fee and changing of the number. And it was total chaos, and she had had enough, which was fair.
Yep.
And I agreed. I actually had to put it in writing. I know. I literally had to write down a sheet of paper. I, Michael Smalley, will no longer purchase new cell phones or change carriers without the expressed written consent of Amy. I remember this.
I hope you have that document somewhere.
I doubt it, but I did, and I signed it. And I, in my heart, I wanted to honor that contract.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
So that lets me know that you did not honor the contract.
And, I mean, I'm glad we're doing the show on this topic because, really, I'm a victim in this.
Right, clearly.
Because I was minding my... I was actually doing an errand for my wife. Mm-hmm. I was being a loving, serving husband.
Yeah, uh-huh.
I was at Kmart, which doesn't even exist anymore. That should tell you something. This could have been the beginning of the end for Kmart.
Maybe it was.
This moment. And so I'm in Kmart getting some stuff, going down the aisles, and there was an AT&T booth. And I walked by, and I swear it was like a heroin dealer or a crack dealer.
That's who was working the booth?
Well, new cell phones were like heroin for me.
Okay.
And so I walked by. I'm like, don't even look. And so I don't look. I literally consciously don't look at the booth so I won't be tempted. Mm-hmm. And that little AT&T sales lady goes, sir, have you seen our new phone? That's all I needed. 5 minutes later, I'm walking out with a new phone. And I'm smart enough to know I might get in trouble for this one.
Right.
Right? So I'm driving home trying to think, you know, what are you going to do? She's going to kill you.
How am I going to spin this so it's a good thing?
Exactly. And so I come home and my blessed, precious wife is asleep on the couch in our living room, family room, whatever. Mm-hmm. And I go in. I'm like, hey, kind of like rub her back. She's like, oh, hey, you're back. I went, yeah, I got all the things you needed. She's like, oh, my gosh, that was so nice because I was so tired. I went, I know. Just keep holding on to these thoughts and feelings. And I go, well, hey, baby, how'd you like my number? Like trying to make it cute and playful. Yeah.
And she knew.
It was not cute and playful.
Uh-uh.
Not even a little bit, because I'm telling that chick, she shot up so fast. Not even into a sitting position. She went from laying to floating above the floor by 12 inches just with the anger. Was fueling the anti-gravity moment for her. And she goes, I know that you didn't get a new cell phone. And I went, well, since you brought it up.
No.
I go, but let me, and I, you know, I'm dead. I've signed a contract. I've said I wouldn't do it.
So there's no valid excuse.
Nothing. I'm in trouble. I need to take my medicine. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I'm just sitting on the couch, and she starts to light me up. And she's literally pointing the finger at me. Mm-hmm. Like, you promised, and you're a liar, and you cannot believe you go back. It's only been like a week since we even agreed upon that thing. And I know, and I'm taking it like a champ, right? Left blow, right blow, uppercut, uppercut. And I'm just sitting there, and I'm like, hey, I did this. Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily appreciate that she's escalating, but... the same time, I did. I broke mm-hmm. the agreement. But the unfortunate thing is that Cole, who was 5 at the time, heard, I think, the commotion, mm-hmm. saw his mother levitating in the middle of our family room.
Which would bother any child.
Yeah, which is disturbing. And pointing at me, yelling, and he comes down the stairs. Now, the stairs in this home were situated behind where Amy had built her altar of criticism and shame.
Yeah.
And so he's now behind her standing at the bottom of the stairs. Only I can see him. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm a pretty healthy, clearly I'm an amazing guy.
Yeah. Always making the wisest of choices.
Yes. And so I see Cole, and I start giving her the cutoff sign, you know, like when you put your hand and kind of go across the throat like, hey,
yeah.
We need to stop. Mm-hmm. And I kind of give her the cutoff sign, and I point like, hey, little ears are in the room now. You need to probably dial this back, and we need to have this conversation somewhere else. Mm-hmm. So I'm giving her the cutoff
sign. You're trying to do a healthy thing.
I am.
Yeah.
Because I'm so healthy.
Right.
I was,
and you're also looking forward to the possible reprieve.
I was. I was like, oh, this was couldn't have been better timing, Cole. Way to go, buddy. And so I'm like, honey, behind you, child. My wife, who had already escalated, which means she's already now lost control. Mm-hmm. She looks behind her and sees Cole. She looks back at me. She looks back at Cole. And then she looks back at me. I'm like, oh,
uh-oh.
No.
This isn't going where you want
to. And her eyes are filled with unkind things. And she points at me and she says, I want our son to hear how irresponsible his father is. Oh. Now, if you're a fan of the show, you know that I tend to be an avoider.
Mm-hmm.
And I tend to not escalate. I mean, I've had my moments.
Right.
That's usually not my go-to thing. That pushed some primal buttons.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that went like all the way back to caveman era. I mean, because it was primal. And she knew it. Right? And this is why I try to tell people you don't want to escalate. Because when you escalate, you say and do things that you can't take back.
Right.
Now, can we agree that that was not the coolest, healthiest thing for her to say?
Yes. I would agree with that.
It's hardly even arguable.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It was clearly over the line.
And if I asked her now, today, she'd be like, yes, that was over the line.
I don't know.
Oh.
Yes, you would. You were like, really?
Wow, okay.
What do you guys teach?
Clearly, you haven't resolved this, and we need to go back.
There's a lot of anger and unforgiveness. So she knows immediately, like if she was here sharing the story with us, she'd be like, the second the words started coming out, she was like, wait, pull them back. But it was too late.
Mm-hmm.
And my eyes widened in my own anger, and I start to, like, rise from the couch.
So now you're floating. She's floating.
We are both. It was like a scene straight out of the Avengers. And, ooh, who would I be? At that moment, I was
the
turning
Hulk?
Into the Hulk, 100%. Who would she have been? She was Ultron. So we were both, well, I'm a good guy. Hey, I like how this is unpacking.
Right. Hold on. I was like, no, this can't be right.
So it's on. Mm-hmm. And she knows, like, oh, my gosh, because I just had this fury in my face, and I was about to just pounce, right?
Yeah.
Well, before I really could get going, she turns an about face and hightails it out of the room, like running. And I start sprinting after her. So I'm like, no, you don't.
Right.
And so now two marriage and family therapists are officially chasing each other through our home. So she winds in our
and
master.
And not in a playful,
no, not
romantic
in a,
way.
There's no happy ending for this chase. And so I am tearing after, like, get back here. She's like, ah! So she's running, runs to her bedroom, runs to her bathroom, and into, we had two separate closets,
mm-hmm.
kind of smallish walk-ins.
Yeah.
And so she runs into hers, which is bigger, by the way.
They always are.
Yeah. So she runs into her, and I follow right after her. So now we, and I shut the door, slam it. But it didn't slam well. Very anticlimactic.
It's very, yeah.
I'm like, rah!
The pressure of the other room caught it, so it was like a gentle click.
And so now we are practically nose to nose, surrounded by clothing, and I light into her, right? Mm-hmm. I'm like, how? And now I'm pointing the finger at her. How dare you make a comment like that? You are totally out of control, and that was so blah. And then she, who never backs down from a fight.
Mm-hmm.
So, unfortunately, I did not marry an avoider.
Right.
So now I'm just trying to play the role of an escalator. Mm-hmm. I'm not even that good at it. So she's like, don't, and she gets into my face, and she's now pointing the finger back. Don't point that finger at me. I'm like, oh, my, the gall of this woman. Now, I'm not proud of what I did next.
Okay.
I'm not at all.
Yeah.
It's embarrassing.
I mean, I hope you're not proud of anything that you've done so far.
No, I'm not proud of it. Touché. That was nice. No, I'm not proud of anything, but it got worse. And so she yells at me, don't point that finger at me. The best comeback I could invent in my head. this is where it gets embarrassing. Is in my mind, I want to try to unpack this in my mind.
Okay.
In my mind, I saw the Matrix. Remember that scene in the Matrix where I think he's on a rooftop, may have been the first one, and the Smith is firing at him, and he's like leaning back.
Yeah, yeah.
And the bullets
dodging
are like
the
going
bullets,
over, and it's all in slow motion. Well, I kind of went with that theme. Because she said, don't point. Seth, the next thing you know, I have both fingers pointed at her, and I start doing this machine gun pointing thing, but it was like really close into my chest because there wasn't a lot of room. So I just start going, oh, you don't want me to point? And I'm pointing at her as fast as I possibly can. Because I think this is going to be the most manly, intimidating right. thing I can
Clearly.
Do.
Clearly. And just to give another picture of this, it's almost like you're trying to speed type yeah. with one finger on each hand, except that he's doing it a little
but
higher.
I'm doing
up.
It horizontally, yeah. and it's pointed at my... And I'm like, I'm mad. I've totally lost it. And you know what she does?
Starts laughing.
She did not cower in fear. She did not close her mouth. She laughed. She really did. Because I was so mad that she literally goes, oh, you're being serious.
Oh, Michael, you're such the aggressive escalator.
Yeah. No. So now I get laughed at, which there was a momentary blackout. Like, just everything went black.
You don't know what happened that time.
No, and as I come out of it, I'm thinking some pretty aggressive things, right? Mm-hmm. I'm like, you know, murder is at the top of the list. I'm trying to figure out if I can use one of the hangers, you know, or something. And then I get verbally ugly, and I'm just so mad. And I think I said something to the effect of, well, I'll just say the spawn of Satan got in there. I know. I don't even know how I got there. But I'm like, you're like the spawn of Satan himself. Which at that point, she's like, yeah, I'm out. So she walks out of the closet. I'm standing there like a moron. And then the Holy Spirit does what the Holy Spirit is supposed to do. Mm-hmm. What is he supposed to do?
Convict. You.
Yeah, that's what it is. And I instantly get convicted because that was an ugly statement to make. And obviously the pointing thing and the screaming and the chasing her around the house and the breaking
and
of the contract.
And the buying of the phone.
Yeah. I mean, all of it was bad. And she is now actually just sitting on the side of our bed, just like a little bit dumbfounded. I know what it was. Cole came into the room. Mm. So mom and dad had really lost it, and it scared him.
Yeah.
And so as I'm standing there in the room, and this is a really important thing to hear, everybody. Amy, when Cole came up to her crying, Amy could have gone any number of directions. She could have stayed with the theme, see your dad, mm-hmm. see how bad he is, see how right. horribly he's behaving, and he's chasing me, and he's a liar, and he doesn't follow through, doesn't have integrity, whatever. I'm telling you, I would have come out of that closet with a hanger, for sure. But she, all of a sudden, chose the right path, which was personal responsibility. And the next thing you know, I hear her, because Cole's upset, and she's apologizing to Cole for her behavior only. Mm. Yeah. She did not mention the fact that mommy's mad because daddy did this. Mm-hmm. Mommy said what she said because daddy did this. She just started owning it. Yeah. And she was like, son, will you forgive me? I never should have talked to your father like that. I shouldn't have started yelling. I definitely shouldn't have, you know, said the irresponsibility thing. And, you know, will you forgive me? Well, this is why when we say it starts with you and this foundational skill, really, of taking responsibility, why it's so effective is that once she started taking ownership, I had nothing left but my own bad behavior to hold on to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I can't keep blaming her at that point because now when you take responsibility, the book we wrote on this concept is called The Surprising Way to a Stronger Marriage. Mm-hmm. And it's all about personal responsibility. And the cover of that book has a mirror because that's really what happens when you start taking responsibility for your own actions and you leave the other one alone and you back off of them and you don't blame and you don't point the finger, then you become a reflection of them. And if they're being unhealthy and unloving, they will feel that and see that exponentially more. Does that make
yeah.
sense?
Mm-hmm.
And so here she is taking responsibility. The Holy Spirit is convicting me harshly. And so Cole, they hug, and he walks out, and I come out of the closet. Sorry.
couldn't just keep on walking.
I couldn't. I'm immature in many ways.
Many.
And so I get out of the closet, by crawling on my hands and knees because I am broken.
Are you serious?
Oh, dead serious. I am so embarrassed and so humbled by what I had done, especially the things I had said. You know, when you start throwing out Spawn of Satan, that's
right. Things have escalated.
Things got out of hand. So I literally go crawling out of the closet on my hands and knees up to her. And the first thing I say is, I hope that you can forgive me for what I just did. And now I start taking ownership. Mm-hmm. And that's when the conflict started even remotely being able to be resolved. Now I'm going, hey, I never should have yet. One, it was wrong to break the contract. Inexcusable, no matter how amazing that new phone was.
And, do you remember which phone it was?
And no, man, this was early on. Probably still a flip phone. Who knows? And I don't even think Palm Pilots were out yet. And so now I start taking responsibility. And this is now the first time our conflict can start getting resolved.
Right.
And the moral is that, and everyone listening, I know, unlike Seth and Shauna, that when you point the finger at each other, you know what happens. It gets ugly.
Yeah.
There's really no other choice. It's mm-hmm. going to get out of control. And the thing that we have to remember is in any conflict with our spouse, we have something we can take responsibility for.
Right.
Right? We have something we can own. Even in that, yeah, I broke the contract. But does me breaking the contract give her the right to escalate?
No.
No, it doesn't. And Scripture is so clear on this. But what happens, and especially if you're in the position of trying to win back your wife, you've got to stop focusing on everything else, right? You've got to start looking at, okay, now what can I do that would be loving, that would be honoring? Mm-hmm. And I can't get hung up, because this is what's really hard is, guys, if you're in the process of trying to win back your wife, she might not respond very quickly.
Right.
Right? It depends. It depends how much hurt is there.
Mm-hmm. The history.
The level of it, right? And that's where it gets hard. That's why personal responsibility is so key, is that she may have gotten your attention, right? Like with mm-hmm. this threat of divorce.
Mm-hmm.
And so you may actually be experiencing a fundamental change or shift in your attitude, and you're realizing, I have messed this up. I have behaved badly. And so you're turning things around, and she's not responding.
Yeah.
That's when you need this personal responsibility, because no matter how she responds, I can't take ownership in order to get her to come back.
Right. Because you're always going to be better off and healthier just taking ownership and making the change no matter what. So you can't rely on her response to that to dictate you being healthy.
Yeah, it's no strings attached.
Mm-hmm.
You just can't have any strings, because people will feel those strings consciously or unconsciously. And it doesn't feel good.
Right.
Right? It's like, well, I'm doing this good thing for you so that you do a good thing for me.
Yeah.
No. It's totally independent from that. So when we blame, if you're in this position of pointing a finger and blaming, then we become the victim, and victims simply don't win relationally. They just don't.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot win if you take this thing of it's like, well, yeah, but I did all those things because you did those things. All right, that's going to cause defensiveness. It halts the change process when we can't take ownership. Right, it builds animosity, right? The intensity of whatever conflict you are experiencing is only going to get worse.
It like keeps you and your spouse to start keeping track and a score as well.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, oh, like tally marks. I'm like, yeah. Oh, let me open up my record book of the things that you've done.
I mean, does that even feel, does that sound like a good strategy?
No.
Not at all. But when I'm not taking responsibility for my life, that's what it becomes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay, yeah, babe, I did those things, but you've also been doing these things. And, okay, so where do we go with that? Nowhere. Right. We go right into the conflict dance,
mm-hmm.
which they can, if you haven't listened to, it's episode 2.
Mm-hmm.
So go to the site, smalleyinstitute.com, because that dance is really, really miserable. So here's... You know, with each one of these episodes, we like to have sort of a hero's actions. So what's the point of this show? And what do you need to do moving forward to begin winning back your wife? First is you can't, don't get into apologizing, but take responsibility.
Wait, so no apologies?
Well, I'm afraid to ask you this because you've probably never experienced this before.
I'm going to go ahead and start making eye contact with Sean.
Yeah, but most couples and people that I meet with professionally, they have already said, I'm sorry, 1,005 million times. 1,000,000,005. 1,500,000,000 times.
Numbers are hard.
Yeah, they are. So that's why I say don't apologize, because you've probably said sorry in the past and it didn't amount to anything.
Okay.
It didn't go towards any kind of change. Many times when people say, I'm sorry, you're just trying to get over, you're trying to get past this quickly. Like, I just want, okay, I'm sorry. You know, let's just go back to normal. Well, probably normal hasn't been a good thing.
Right.
And so instead of apologizing, take responsibility. I have a quote here on the notes as well, so you can read that on this podcast episode. But you can say something like, what I've realized is how I hurt you by
blank.
Right. So I could say in the cell phone, debauchery. It was debauchery. I was a cell phone addict. Hello, my name is Michael.
You still might be.
Yeah. No, I've stayed with... Now I'm on the Apple plan, so every year I get an upgrade.
Right, so now it's just a year on a consistent fix.
Yes. Oh, it's so much healthier. So I might have said something like this to Amy, which I did. Hey, listen, I realized that when I called you the spawn of Satan, that was really over the top. That is super hurtful. And obviously, you're not the spawn of Satan. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe a second or third cousin. But no, I wouldn't have said that. That would have been bad. But you be specific about the things, especially you in this moment, you want to use the words that your wife has used with you. Mm-hmm. Right. So has Sean ever complained about anything with you? Surely.
Yeah. She's definitely.
Can you think
complained.
Of one? How about your.
That I don't validate enough.
So if she uses the word validate, right, then that's the word you want to use when you're owning. Mm-hmm. So you would say, hey, Sean, I've realized that it's been hurtful when I don't validate you well. Like, there's too many times where I just need to be able to validate you and I don't.
Yeah.
I own it. That feels many times way better than sorry.
Right. Yeah.
It's like, sorry for what?
Right. It's a blanket statement.
Yeah. It's kind of bland. Generalized. And for many of us, we've used that term to where it's been watered down.
Mm-hmm.
It's not effective anymore.
I had a friend years ago. I'm sure she got it from somewhere else, but she was talking about apologies, and she was saying I'm sorry is often for you. Asking forgiveness is for the other person. Is more for the other person. Or I guess more communal almost. Because saying I'm sorry could be like, yeah, I'm sorry, I did my part. And she's saying that asking forgiveness invites the other person
right.
in.
Invites them back into the relationship. Mm-hmm. So there can be reconciliation.
Yeah.
Which should be the goal in a marriage. The other action that you want to do, and this is such a big chunk of personal responsibility, is you need to start doing for her what you wish she was doing for you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is clearly a concept that I have invented all on my own.
Clearly.
This is,
you should probably trademark that.
I think I should.
You should put it in a book with some other like good things and sayings.
Well,
and
to the best of my knowledge, has anyone ever said that before?
No. I'm pretty sure might be scripture.
Wait, hold on. Is that anywhere near the golden rule that Jesus talked about thousands of years ago?
Right.
Right? I mean, it's that is the essence of personal responsibility, really, when it comes down to it. So, guys, if you're sitting there frustrated with your wife, you're saddened because she's not paying attention, or she's not serving, or she's not doing whatever, right? There's good things, not unhealthy things, but good things. Then what Christ commands is that you as you're thinking, God, I wish she was being more kind right now, or I wish she was being more patient right now. Well, then you go ahead and take the initiative and be kind and patient for her.
Right.
Which is hard to do.
Yeah, for sure. And this goes into our third step, is never quit, is that can be super hard to keep on doing this, especially if you feel like you're not seeing any sort of change or return. It can be discouraging. But what you also have to remember, what we talked about earlier, is that this isn't for her. This is also for you, so that you are healthy. And so it can be hard to just stay encouraged to basically be healthy.
But if you're really going to, if it starts with you and you're going to take ownership, quit can't be in your repertoire. That word is a dirty, filthy word. So I had a lady once, I was preaching on this very concept, and she came up to me and she, it was so funny because I'm like, did you listen to anything I just taught on for an hour?
Yeah.
Because she's like, yeah, but, and every time I hear but, I'm like, here we go. But how long? Like, how long do I wait for this to happen? And my response always is for as long as it takes. I mean, what are you going to do? Are you going to quit on this thing and divorce? I think her issue was her husband played, what are the video games? It's a certain style of video game. RPG or?
Yeah, RPGs.
What does that stand for? Do you know?
Role-playing games.
Yes, role-playing games. So apparently he was super addicted to those, which they are very addictive. And he'd play like 10 hours a day kind of a thing.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. And so, which is a problem.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, are you really going to divorce because your husband plays too long, you know, video games too long in the day?
Yeah.
No, I don't think that's a good reason. Really, there is no good reason. Other than, we've talked before, obviously, abuse. And where I encourage people, if they're in an abusive relationship, start with separation. Because, I mean, there's a safety issue.
Right, yeah.
But you separate first because you want them to have a chance to get healing. Because
always
the best scenario is that the two of you get healing and you reconcile and repair the relationship and move forward in a healthy, loving, honoring way. But you cannot quit, guys, especially if you're at that place where you really are trying to win back the heart of your wife. I mean, you know, I had a guy once, yeah, Mike, and it was in an intensive. He's like, yeah, because I was even talking about patience and not giving up. And he goes, yeah, I've tried patience. And I thought,
wait, what do you mean?
I don't think you can use tried and patience in the same sentence.
Right.
And so I went, all right, I'll engage. I went, really? How long have you tried? Oh, like 2 months. I went, okay, but how long were you married and not behaving well? And he goes, oh, I don't know, 15 years. And I go, how about this? Let's just agree that if she hasn't changed in 15 years, call me.
Yeah.
Call me. I'm not saying you can quit then, but yeah, sure. That'd be tough. 15 years would be a long time with someone who isn't willing to change. But the truth is our hearts want to be connected, right? Because God, you know, I wish we did have video right now, but God, like if you have your two hands and if someone's misbehaving, right? If your heart is meant with your two hands, you have your your palms. Your palms together in an open position, right? That's the natural state of our heart. When someone mistreats us, it closes, right? And your fingers interlocked and you're closed tight. But the interesting thing is there is a natural tension. So even though your heart's closed, it's fighting being closed and it wants to open. That's why you don't quit. Because traditionally, when I treat someone well, guess what happens to the heart?
It opens.
It opens because it wants to be opened. That's its natural state, which is why you don't want to quit.
Sounds good.
Felt like there could have been like a really dramatic line there. I was counting on you as the co-host.
Never say die.
Never.
Is that not the one you're looking
for? Isn't that Die Hard?
I don't know.
Die Hard makes sense, though, as a good reference right now, because you got to be tough.
And walk through glass barefoot.
Yeah.
In every movie.
Yeah. Walk through glass. That's totally true. So, never quit. never say never. You got to keep engaged. You got to focus on yourself. And when you do those things, your wife is going to respond eventually. I can't tell you how long it'll take, but just know every time you point the finger, blame, or criticize, you've just set the process back again.
Mm-hmm.
So keep going in the direction that is honoring. That's really the best thing that you can do. Long, awkward pause. So, hey, now we have some important things for you, because one of the really cool tools we have at Smalley Institute is our Reignite Your Marriage app. Seth, can you tell the folks what they get with the Reignite Your Marriage app? That is free to download on any platform.
I believe it comes like with a free paid-for vacation to Hawaii.
No.
6 nights.
Nope.
No? Is that not what it comes with?
No.
A new car.
Trying to get that. No, not a new car.
A backyard furniture set.
Okay. No, it doesn't come with that either.
Oh, it comes with so many things. You get your love list in there.
Which is a super cool thing.
Yeah. If you come to one of our live events, you get the ability to ask us questions at the live event.
You have the love talk system.
Yep. You have access to our podcast straight through the app.
Yeah, you do. You also have, there's an 8-question assessment on our app that can predict divorce 93% accurately. Mm-hmm. Hello.
8 questions. It's easy.
I know. Takes you a minute to finish. And then you'll know, if you score in that red category, there's some things you got to get doing.
Yep.
Or you might score green. And we've got that, we're doing good.
Got that app on all the major app stores, iTunes, Google Play, Windows Phone, Amazon App Store. So no excuse.
None. And we have direct links to all those on this podcast episode. But hey, if you're at the site, then you might as well check out our extensive library of online courses. They're super cool, very powerful. They have videos, they have workbook style interaction with the video, and it's basically all the best stuff we've ever done, including things from my father. So you can check that out at smalleyinstitute.com. And if you enjoy the show, Seth, what do they do?
Let us know.
Yeah.
Get on iTunes, leave us a review. Helps us know if we're doing a good job or not, and helps other people find us.
Well, Smalley Marriage Radio is brought to you by the Smalley Institute. If your marriage is on life support, reignite your relationship in only 2 days. You can find out more online at smalleyinstitute.com or give one of our intensive consultants a call toll-free at 888-565-6462.